This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Allahumma 'allimna ma yanfa'na wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن بطن لا يشبع ومن دعاء لا يسمع. All praise is indeed due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him and every single one of us and to grant us every form of mercy. Ameen. We do not have knowledge except that which Allah has granted us. Ya Allah, we ask you knowledge that is beneficial and we ask you to benefit us from the knowledge that you have given us. And we seek your protection from eyes that will not cry for your sake. We seek protection from a heart that will not tremble in fear of you. And we seek protection from a belly that will never be filled, from a soul that will never be content. And we seek protection from a dua that we make that is not answered. Ameen. Honored ulama and beloved brothers and sisters and dearest listeners, this evening we completed Surah An-Nisa. At the beginning of the sixth part of the Quran, that is where Surah An-Nisa comes to an end. And towards the end of Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies the name of one of the most pure of women that existed. Who was she? One of the most pure was Maryam alayha salatu wassalam. She was accused by the people of the book or some of the Jewish people of having committed an act of immorality, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they were cursed because of that accusation. From this we learn that anyone who accuses anybody else of immorality or of misconduct of that nature, that itself will be a means of their own destruction, which means the accuser will be cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because naturally that accusation angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah An-Nur, in a different part of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies and purifies the name of another, one of the most pure females to exist, and that is Aisha radiallahu anha. And in other places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified the names of various other precious people, such as Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam and the others. And what these accusations have done, they have only resulted in the downfall of the accuser and in the elevation of the one who was accused. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the hypocrites. The verses that we ended with yesterday, I'm sure they are very beautiful verses and I will read them for you this evening. The signs of hypocrisy are mentioned quite clearly in Surah An-Nisa. And one of those signs is that when a person who is a hypocrite stands up for salah, they are very lazy. They don't want to fulfill the salah. The only reason they are doing it is to show off or to show others and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. We are fortunate, alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us so many opportunities to engage in salah freely and openly with jama'ah. There are other places on the globe where it is not so simple and not so easy. We should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same applies when it comes to the dress code of the Muslims, especially the female. We are so fortunate in this part of the world. Wallahi, we are honored and full of dignity when we put on the Islamic clothing, whereas in some parts of this globe, they are trying to ban it. In some parts, they have already banned it. And sadly, some Muslim countries are also contemplating doing the same. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to appreciate His gifts upon us. Remember, if we are not going to seize the opportunities Allah gives us, He will take them away. And this is mentioned even in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Seize every opportunity in your direction. If you don't, it's going to go, then it will be too late. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who can be alert, who can be appreciative and who can understand. Allah says, regarding the hypocrites,
إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى يراءون الناس ولا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا مذبذبين بين ذلك لا إله هؤلاء ولا إله هؤلاء ومن يضلل الله فلن تجد له سبيلا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the qualities of the hypocrites. He says, the hypocrites, they want to deceive. Who are they going to deceive? They cannot deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are deceiving themselves. They are deceiving themselves. When they stand up in salah, they stand very lazily. And salah is referring to an act of worship, that which is an obligation. Anything that is an obligation upon us, we must do it with a full heart, we must do it wholeheartedly, as we say. And we must be really thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us the health to fulfill these acts of worship. It may be too late. By the time we grow old and we don't have the energy anymore, then we say, oh, I wish I had fulfilled my salah when I was younger. And I want to mention the hadith. It says, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. Seize five golden opportunities before they are overtaken by five other situations, then it will result in regret. And these five, I'm sure we've heard them, that of youth, when you are young, seize that opportunity, because when you get old, you won't be able to fulfill what you can whilst you are young. Seize the opportunity of your wealth whilst you have it, to spend it in the path of Allah and to do good, because when it goes, it will be too late. Seize the opportunity of your good health, because when you become sick, you won't be able to fulfill that which you would have had you been healthy. Seize the opportunity of your life before you pass away, and seize your opportunity of your free time before you are occupied. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a lesson. And may He make us from those really who can appreciate the gifts upon us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to say in these verses that I've just read before you, that the hypocrites, they are neither on this side, nor are they on that side. They come to this side and they want to please these people. They come to that side, they want to please those people. And this is why we are taught that anyone who does not have enemies at all is a hypocrite. Subhanallah. Did we ever think of that? Because if you are a person on principle, some people will have to hate you because of that principle. Whether they are the non-Muslims or the others or whoever it is, but they will have to dislike you. When you are the head of a school, for example, you've got to lay down rules. Some people won't like those rules, so they will dislike you. You've got to be hard on various members, even in your workplace, your business, your home. As a parent, sometimes you've got to be on principle, but when you are a person who sways from side to side, you will lose your value. That is hypocrisy. Why should we want to please everybody? This is why the hadith says, "Man arda Allah bi sakhati an-nas, radiyallahu anhu wa arda anhu an-nas." Powerful hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever pleases Allah, whoever's whole aim is the pleasure of Allah, and in the process they achieve the displeasure of all human beings, Allah says, Allah will be pleased with such a person, and very soon everybody will begin to understand and love that person as well. And the opposite continues in the hadith, وَمَنْ أَرْضَ النَّاسَ بِسَخَطِ اللَّهِ سَخِطَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَأَسْخَطَ عَنْهُ النَّاسِ. Whosoever wants to please all the people, and in the process achieving the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are taught that that person, Allah is displeased with them, and very soon everybody will be displeased with them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a lesson again. So hypocrisy, there is no room for hypocrisy within our hearts and within our minds and within our own existence. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from that. We'd rather be people who are straightforward, upright. The smile should be genuine. So that alhamdulillah, when you are upset, people can ask you, why are you upset? Rather you clarify the matter and live a crystal clear life than to pretend that everything is okay when it's not. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness in our lives. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of why these people were cursed. And I did make mention of it very briefly. Some of these people who had accused Maryam alayha salatu wassalam of immorality, they were cursed because of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that statement was disbelief, out of their disbelief. And because they uttered such a great fabrication against Maryam alayha salatu wasalam, we cursed them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Really, if we are going to utter false utterances, and if we are not going to look after our tongues, there is a chance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may curse us, and we don't want this to happen. Then, there is a very interesting clarification also in Surah An-Nisa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies the fact that Jesus, may peace be upon him, did not die. Unlike what the Qadianis say, they say he died, and they say that he is not going to return. In these verses, Allah says,
وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ.
They neither killed him, nor did they crucify him. So how did he die? He did not die. They neither killed him, nor did they crucify him. The Christians say that he was crucified. And the others say that he was killed. So Allah says neither of the two. So where did the Qadianis get what they came with? May Allah protect us all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our belief and keep us from those who are interested in the deviant belief solely to know how to protect ourselves from it. عَرَفْتُ الشَّرَّ لِأُوَقِّيهِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفِ الشَّرَّ يَقَعْ فِيهِ. One of the poets beautifully says that I had to learn what evil was in order to protect myself from it, because if I didn't know, I would have fallen straight into it without knowing this is evil. So it's important for us to know what's right and to know what's wrong. The idea of knowing what's right is to follow it, and the idea of knowing what's wrong is to be able to abstain from it. When you understand how shaitan can come into your life or come and try and affect you, that is when you will be able to protect yourself from shaitan. But if you don't know how to check, then you will not know that you may be overtaken by the devil. May Allah protect myself and yourselves. So this is why it's important to know what is wrong as well, so that we can abstain from it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this. He says,
بَرَّفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا.
Allah has raised Isa alayhi salam above to him, and Allah is all powerful, all wise. You know, the Huffaz, sometimes they get mixed up with Azizan Hakiman, Aliman Hakiman. If you know the meaning of the Arabic language, the chances of being mixed up are very slim. Because here, Allah says Azizan Hakiman, which means he is all powerful, all wise. Why is the power mentioned? Because it requires mighty divine power to raise someone up to heaven alive. Subhanallah. So when Allah speaks about that, He won't tell you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearing and all knowledgeable. No, He speaks about how powerful He is. So when you hear, بَرَّفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ, close your eyes and say, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. Subhanallah. That's a tip for the huffaz. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a deeper understanding. This is why we always say, when you learn the Arabic language and you are interested in it, you will not want to stop when you are reading the Quran. You will want to continue over and over again. This evening, towards the end of the verses we read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Najashi. And Allah says, you will find the closest people to us as believers are those who say we are Christian. Why? Allah says, because from them there are some who are good. And there are some whom, when they heard the verses of the Quran being read, they began to weep. If you notice, I did not stop at the end of the surah of the juz, because it was still continuing in meaning. For a person who understands the meaning, you've actually cut it down. And now what happens next? Tomorrow you start off وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا, and one wonders, what is it that they are saying here? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. This is why you find, normally those who speak the Arabic language, they won't stop at the end always. They might add a verse and so on, and the following day they might continue from a few verses prior to where they had finished and so on, just so that the meaning fits in. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then addresses the people of the book, and Allah says, all the people of the book, they will believe in the truth regarding Jesus before he dies. Which means he's not dead yet, because they have not believed in the truth about him yet. So he's going to come back. When he comes back, they will all see the reality. They will be forced to believe that this is Isa ibn Maryam, and they will be forced to believe the reality. Then he will die a death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all a good death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O people of the book, here addressing the Christians, O people of the book, do not exceed the limits in your religion and don't mention that regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that which is the truth. When you know this is the truth, then you utter it. Allah says, don't say Trinity. There is nothing like Trinity. Allah is saying it Himself. Allah is saying, Allah is one. Don't say Allah has a son. He doesn't have a son. Subhanallah. So these verses are addressing the people of the book, more so the Christians. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all guidance and them as well. In the next surah, which is named Suratul Ma'idah. Al-Ma'idah is the laid tablecloth. For your information, the connection of this to the previous surah is simple. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about Jesus, Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, and all the miracles and so on, one of the miracles was the laid tablecloth that came down from heaven. Some might call it the Last Supper. But it's a table laid from heaven that came down for the people to eat. The disciples ate, the others ate, and Allah makes mention of this tablecloth in Suratul Ma'idah. After making mention in Suratul Nisa of Isa alayhi salatu wa salam and so on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the beginning of Suratul Ma'idah, He says,
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu awfu bil'uqood.
O you who believe, fulfill your covenants. When you make a promise, fulfill it. When you give your word, make sure you fulfill it. Fulfill the covenant. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. Be honest, be upright. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this at the beginning of the surah. For your information, in Suratul Ma'idah, Allah has also made mention of halal and haram food. Because naturally it's a laid tablecloth. So Allah has made mention of halal and haram food. And if we fulfill our promise to Allah, we will automatically abstain from haram. Look at how beautifully He starts it. You fulfill your promise, you fulfill your word. We say we are Muslimin, ashhadu alla ilaha illallah. I bear witness that there is none, no deity worthy of worship besides Allah. There is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger, the final messenger. If we really bear witness, let's fulfill what we've said. Automatically we will abstain from haram. May Allah protect us from haram. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes how it is prohibited to hunt whilst in the condition of ihram. It is prohibited to hunt whilst in the condition or the state of ihram. Then after a verse, He says, وَإِذَا حَلَلْتُمْ فَاصْطَادُوا. When you remove your ihram, then you may hunt once again. And after that, if you recall, there was a stage when the Muslimin were blocked from entering Makkah at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a lot of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had a heavy heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't let that heavy heart lead you to be. He says, وَإِذَا حَلَلْتُمْ فَاصْطَادُوا. When you remove your ihram, then you may hunt once again. And after that, if you recall, there was a stage when the Muslimin were blocked from entering Makkah at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a lot of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had a heavy heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't let that heavy heart lead you to be unjust.
وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَن صَدُّوكُمْ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ أَن تَعْتَدُوا.
Don't let the fact that you might have a bit of hatred in your heart against these people who have blocked you from going into the Masjid al-Haram, don't let that make you transgress. And in another verse, a page down or two pages down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, never let your hatred for a nation or for any people lead you to be unjust. Always be just, for that is what will achieve the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The lesson is for myself and yourselves. Sometimes we get upset with our fellow Muslims, and it leads us to be unjust. We start swearing and screaming and slandering and rumors mongering and so on. That is unfair. Even if you don't like someone, be just. Be fair. We are Muslimin. We have a religion. Really, that is the best
every single aspect of life is taught to us in Islam. Let us thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of how powerful the deen has become. There was a time at the beginning where the kuffar of Quraysh were trying to extinguish the deen. They wanted to eradicate Islam because they were just a few people. But in Madinatul Munawwara, when Islam grew and the armies had come and they lost a few of their battles, the kuffar had lost a few of their battles, towards the end, when there was Fath of Makkah, the victory of Makkah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses. He says,
الْيَوْمَ يَئِسَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِن دِينِكُمْ فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنَ.
Allah says, this day, the kuffar have given up. The kuffar have given up regarding your deen. They now acknowledge that they're going to have to live with it forever. Now you have gained that foothold. And now the Muslimin are going to last forever and ever. So Allah says, so don't fear them anymore, fear me. Subhanallah. Allah is saying, fear me, don't fear them. And this is why one of the last verses to be revealed, Allah says,
الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا.
This day I have perfected your religion. And my gift upon you is complete. The Sharia is completed. Imagine Allah calls it ni'mah. He calls it a gift upon you. How many of us consider the laws of the Sharia a gift upon us? Especially when it is working according to our little minds against us. Sometimes you have sleep and you feel that your sleep is very, very valuable. Suddenly the alarm clock rings to get you up for Salatul Fajr. Do we consider it a gift? Allah says, أَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. I have completed my gift upon you. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me realize that all the laws of the Sharia are there as a gift for myself and yourselves. Anything that is against the Sharia is against the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine someone gives you a nice, expensive, valuable gift and you pick it up and throw it on the side. What if that was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In fact, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's given us all a gift. And this gift is Islam and Iman. Let's never ever discard it. Let's surrender to it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about various other gifts upon us. He says,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ.
O you who believe, remember the gift of Allah upon you. When? Allah says, when people wanted to harm you and we blocked their hands from harming you. This was at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the lesson is for us all. Look at the security Allah has given us. Look at the peace and stability Allah has given us. You know, we are taught that there are two main components of a successful country. الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. We read these verses this evening in Salatul Witr. The one who has granted us peace and security, and the one who has fed us. So if your economy is right and your security is right, your country is perfect. Nothing else you need. This is from a simple surah known as the Surah of Quraysh. Two things you need, that's all. If your economy is right and your stability is okay, what more do you want in a nation? Subhanallah. Look at what Allah is telling us. So this is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. He says, ponder over it. Seize the opportunity of the security you have and seize the opportunity of the freedoms you have. May Allah make me and yourself as well conscious of this, and may He make us seize these opportunities to fulfill as much as we can in terms of deen and in terms of gaining closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks after that about the gift upon the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. When Musa alayhi salam told him, oh my people, remember the gift of Allah upon you. Remember the gift of Allah upon you when He made you kings and leaders, and He made prophets from amongst you.
وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ يَا قَوْمِ اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ.
When Musa alayhi salam said to his people, oh my people, remember Allah's gift upon you.
إِذْ جَعَلَ فِيكُمْ أَنْبِيَاءَ وَجَعَلَكُمْ مُلُوكًا
when He made from amongst you anbiya, prophets, and He made you kings, leaders. Allah says, Musa alayhi salam told His people, remember that gift. What did they do? Immediately after that, Allah says, when Musa alayhi salam instructed them to enter a specific city, they refused. They says, no, we are not going to enter here, because in there are people who are powerful. You go, O Moses, and let your brother go with yourself, and go with your Rabb. You and your Rabb, the two of you can go. We are sitting here. When everything is secure, we'll come. Allah says, look at how they changed the gift of Allah. And look at how they transgressed. They did not acknowledge that Allah was instructing them via a prophet, live and direct. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never ever curse us. And Allah says in the Quran, we curse them because of that. Because of the fact that they disrespected the prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we curse them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. And after that, Allah makes mention of the sons of Adam alayhi salatu was salam, Abel and Cain, Habil and Qabil, and the first murder and what happened. And why did Allah make mention of it here in the middle of making mention of the story of Banu Israel? Because at the end Allah says, مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَٰلِكَ كَتَبْنَا عَلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ Allah says, because of that incident that occurred at the time of Adam, we then prescribed upon the others, including Banu Israel, that if you are to kill one person, it is as good as killing everybody. And if you are to help one person survive, it is as though you've helped everybody. Allah says, that is the decree, it applies even to our times. Today, if you have assisted one person by helping them, say someone is drowning and you go and assist them, it's as though you have helped entire mankind. And if a person has murdered one, it is as though he has destroyed entire mankind. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all protection, and may He use us to assist one another and never ever to be harmful against one another. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter makes mention of how the Torah in its original form is also a book of guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says,
إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا التَّوْرَاةَ فِيهَا هُدًى وَنُورٌ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is confirming, He says, we have revealed the Torah. In it, there is guidance and light. But obviously, the Torah that was changed over time, you will find there might be little portions of what is right and portions of what is wrong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the acceptance to understand that this Quran we have is flawless. Absolutely flawless. Wallahi, we have a book that is so powerful, such a great gift, that we recite it off by heart. No book on earth is recited as the Quran, not one. Whether it is heavenly or not, not a single book is recited as the Quran or memorized as the Quran. This is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. This is why many people are trying to find error in the Quran, but obviously they won't. So what they are doing now, they want to confuse the Muslims regarding the deeper meanings of the Quran. We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. This is why it's important for us to know. Sometimes you find many people don't know the Quran. So you find a non-Muslim comes to them, or a weak Muslim comes to them with a question. Look, this is what your Quran says. You people are all terrorists. Allah protect us all. Now, if we don't know and we've never ever learned, we'll look at the verse and we'll say, oh. But that's not good enough. We need to know that it's impossible for terrorism to be preached in the Quran. It's not there. And that is a challenge, an open challenge that we have really challenged the globe with. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and grant us understanding. We need not hide and we need not be ashamed. There are simple explanations for the verses of the Quran. We don't need to be apologetic at all. But the secret is, or the solution is, let's start learning these verses of the Quran. Let's start understanding so that when we are questioned, we can fire direct. We know the answers automatically. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all protection. Then there is a clarification I'd like to make on air. Because several years back, there is a verse in the Quran that I made mention of, and I found out later on that the narration I used was actually fabricated. So I did clarify it, but it's only my duty to clarify it again on air, to put it on record. There is a verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of how He is the protector of the believers, or He will protect the believers and the messengers and so on. And Allah says,
إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how He will protect the messenger, and then He describes the believers, and from amongst them He describes those يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ, who establish their salah, وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ, and they give their zakah, وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ, and they are in the condition of ruku'. And according to one of the fabricated narrations, it is made mention, and this is wrong obviously, and I've mentioned it in the past, and we withdraw the statement. They say Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was the only one whom, whilst he was in ruku', a beggar came and he was asking him for some money. So in ruku', he gave him some money. So they say this, الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. They say it is Ali radiallahu anhu. That narration is fabricated. It is found in the books of the Shi'as. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. It is not found in our books. So as a clarificationary note, it is not connected to the reason of revelation of this particular verse. This verse has its simple meaning, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising those who give zakah, those who establish salah, those who find themselves in ruku', and that includes everybody. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the establishment of salah. May He make us from those who appreciate His gifts upon us, and may He make us from those who learn a lesson. Until we meet again, وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.